And I hear an amen. Amen. Great worship, my brother. God bless you. Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the creation of the world. You alone ought to receive the glory, the honor of a king. We know there's a lot of people don't believe today. Thank you, Lord God, for the sacrifice of your son Jesus. Thank you for him taking our sins on his shoulders. And thank you for the passion of the Christ. Don't like to think about it, but it's the foundation of our faith. You alone, Lord God, deserve every bit of our trust, of our yield, of our faith, of our love. So we ask you, God, that today, as we open the Bible, your Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us. And somebody may be watching on TV, maybe they get saved today. May they give their heart to Christ. Maybe somebody here. Father, to you be the honor. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to thank Larry Baser. He came and spoke last week for me. He did a great job. He's just a great guy, a good friend. God bless him. Thank you all for being here. We gave him a good offering, and thank you for your faithfulness. If you brought your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. We are in a series of messages about the statements that Jesus made from the cross. And we are kind of hanging out today in Matthew chapter 27, Jesus' fourth statement from the cross. I've entitled our time together, "When You Feel Like God's Forgotten." All the scriptures are going to appear on the screen, and you can take notes. There are notes that are found in the program. You can fill in the blanks. I'll give you the words to put in there. You watched when the two astronauts, one of them being Butch Wilmore, when they touched down in the Gulf of America, or the Gulf of Mexico, however you want to call it, Gulf of America. The two astronauts had been stranded there for 9 months. We had the technology to go get them, but nobody made a move. But they finally came down, thank God. He was interviewed before, and you may have seen this. He was interviewed before they came down from space. He was asked about the experience up there. And you know what? When you're there for that long and nobody's doing anything to get you down there, I'm sure you feel abandoned. And I'm going to quote his response to them asking him questions about being there for so long. He said this: "I can tell you honestly, my feeling on all of this goes back to my faith. It's bound in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is working out his plan and his purposes for his glory throughout all humanity, and how that plays into our lives is significant and important. And however that plays out, I am content because I understand that he is at work in all things. Some things are for good. Some things to us look not so good. But it's all working for his good for those that will believe." He said, that's the answer. Now, sometimes we feel like God's forgotten. We feel forsaken. We feel like we've been abandoned, sometimes by people, or we feel betrayed. And we wonder sometimes, has God forgotten me? Has God forgotten you? And the answer is, he has not. God never forgives. God never forgets who you are. He always remembers. And one thing about what we're going to read about today is that Jesus understands the feelings we get when we feel like we've been abandoned. He understands those feelings because he had them while he hung on the cross and he bore our sins on the cross. So we can learn from what Jesus said on the fourth statement he made from the cross. We can learn something that gives us hope. And here's the bottom line. God understands how you feel. Whenever you feel like you're isolated, you feel lonely, you feel hurt, God understands because Jesus understands. In Mark chapter 15, the Bible tells us, verse 25, that Jesus was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then Matthew takes on what happened after. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, this is what the Bible says. At noon, 3 hours after Jesus was crucified, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Now, it's hard for us to understand what we're reading because I don't think we've ever gone through something like this. This was like something that was unprecedented. I remembered a song sang by a choir when I was young after I had gotten saved. The choir song went like this. It was midnight in the middle of the day. And that's what happened when Jesus was crucified. In the middle of the day at noon, the Bible tells us, Matthew was there. He says, men, darkness came over the whole land. Somebody said, it's like the sun held his face and hid his face on that shameful hour. Somebody may say, do you really believe that? Oh, I believe that with all my heart because the Bible says it. But you know what? We have outside the Bible resources that tell us about this incredible event that happened. There is a Greek historian by the name of Thales that wrote about the darkness 19 years after it happened. And then a Greek historian by the name of Phlegon, he wrote these words, and I quote him, in the fourth year of the 202nd Olympiad, which happened on 33 AD, it became night in the sixth hour of the day, which would be noon, so that stars even appeared in the heavens. Imagine that. So Jesus is crucified, it's noontime, and it gets so dark that the stars are shining bright. But then Phlegon continued, there was also a great earthquake in Bithynia. Bithynia is in Turkey, far away from Jerusalem, right? And many things were overturned in Nicaea. Now, if you were to read forward in Matthew chapter 27, in verse 51, he tells us that after Jesus died, when he died, there was an amazing big earthquake that just shook everything. Even the tombs were open. It was that strong of an earthquake. So Phlegon tells us about this stuff. Matthew continues, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours after Jesus had been crucified, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? The Father had forsaken the Son at the time when he was bearing the sins of the world. You would imagine, wow, how could that happen? It's like for the first time in eternity, there was a split in the Trinity. The Father forsook his Son, abandoned his Son. There was separation. We don't understand it fully, but this is what the Bible tells us. Jesus had never experienced separation from his Father in heaven. So he had endured this separation for 6 hours, and it seems like at this 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he just couldn't take it any longer. And so he cries out with a loud voice, why, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Jesus was just being transparent at this. This is how he was feeling. It was a cry of loneliness from his heart as he's addressing his Father in heaven. He's asking him, why has he forsaken him? One of his friends had betrayed him. His close friends had abandoned Jesus. The rulers, religious people, they had abused him. They had mentally bullied him. They had isolated the Lord Jesus. And that was tough enough. But for their father to forsake him, man, what a difficult, difficult time for the Son of God. For your notes, I want you to write down the word understands, because Jesus understands your hurt and your pain. It's like Jesus is saying here, by just saying that, Jesus is saying, I've been there where you are. When you feel lonely, or when you feel betrayed, or even when you feel like God's forgotten you, Jesus is saying there, hey, I've been there. For your notes, write this down. You're not riding solo. In this world, you're not riding solo. God's not only informed, he's immersed in every detail of your life. He knows where you're at. He knows how you feel. He knows where you're going, where you've been, your darkest times and your times of victory. God knows all of that. You're not alone. He's always with you. Jesus promised he would always be with us. He would never leave us. And then one more blank for your notes. God never forsakes his own. God never forsakes his own. I know we went through COVID several years ago, or a few years ago, and you know, with all those mandates of, you know, mask and stay away from each other, people decided to stay away, and it was isolation. People got isolated. It was just a bad thing for our psyche. And I know that's been long gone, or a few years removed, but people still have this disconnect. No, people didn't want to be with each other during COVID. I remember taking a suit to the cleaners, and it's owned by these Asian people, and I walk in there without a mask. You know, I was like, hey, I need this. You know what the guy said? The guy said to me, what are you trying to do, kill me? I was like, no. I was like, no, it's good, man. I'm okay. And I know that's in the past. But people are still disconnected. In fact, churches have not yet totally recovered from people abandoning going to church. It's just maybe the human way. But it made people be very lonely. And I want to tell you, even you can be feeling lonely even in a place like this with the different people that are here. For your notes, I want you to write this down. You don't have to be alone to feel lonely. You don't have to be alone to feel lonely. You can be at a party and everybody's laughing. And they're dancing and the music is loud. But you can be feeling very much disconnected from the group. I've met married couples through my many years in ministry where one of the couples feels so lonely, even in a marriage. And so you can be with others, you can be in the ministry, you can be involved in a ministry and feel so lonely and so isolated and so hurting. It's really easy, y'all, for us to go through the motions of what we do, hiding behind a little smiley face mask. Like everything is always good. But it's not always good. You know what I'm saying? It's not always good. But we like to hide our feelings. We like to hide our emotions. And sometimes when we're feeling that down, we're like, where has God gone? You know, pastors are rare birds, not weird birds, just rare. We're just rare. And sometimes as a pastor, I feel down and lonely and isolated. I know my wife loves me and I love her, but it could be Satan's attacks too. But you know what? Sometimes then God will send me a little reminder by somebody like you calling me, hey, I just thinking about you. The other day I was at a parking lot. I was walking into Publix and I've been wrestling with things for the last few weeks. And this lady that I had not seen in a while, she's like, hey, God's been putting you in my heart. I've been praying for you. It's a reminder. God sends us reminders, right, that he hasn't forgotten. But sometimes we feel so isolated. I read something about Mother Teresa that kind of shook me. I mean, you know, Mother Teresa, she's like a big deal. You know what I'm saying? She's like a big deal, right? And, of course, she started the Missionaries of Charity in India, and you know all about her dealing with the poorest of the poor in Calcutta. She met this Reverend Trevor Picacci. It must be an Italian. So she met Reverend Trevor Picacci. And he became a guide to her, like a mentor. And he said to Mother Teresa, I want you to write down how you feel. And that's very therapeutic. He said, I want you to write even your deepest of thoughts. Write them down. In 1950, between 1959 and 1960, I want you to listen to Mother Teresa's words in her diary. Put your seatbelts on. This is Mother Teresa. Now, Jesus, I go the wrong way. In my soul, I feel a terrible sense of loss, of God not wanting me, of God not being God, of God not really existing. Jesus, please forgive the blasphemy. In parentheses, she writes, I have been told to write everything. Darkness surrounds me on all sides. I can't lift my soul to God. No light, no inspiration enters my soul. I was like, whoa. But I'm sure you've been there when you feel like the walls are caving in. You know, Mother Teresa was human, just like we're all human. You know what I'm saying? But she's expressing it in her diary. And of course, she's been gone for a while, so now these diaries are being revealed here and there. But the walls are caving in. And you know what? We know God is there. We know God loves us. You know, that we're never going to deny that. But the misery and the pain is so real. And the torment is so real. So, right, for your notes, would you please write down how you feel? Write down how you feel. Not on a text. Not in Facebook. You know, people take Facebook like, I'm feeling horrible. And everybody in the world is like, why is she saying that? And people just go on and on. It's like, nobody really cares, lady. Stop. Is that wrong? Am I wrong? It's like, no. Write things down, but in a diary, in a memoir. Don't put it out for everybody to see. Let's get back to Jesus for just a few moments before we try to bring some practicality to the fourth statement that he made on the cross, okay? He's suffering. He's been there for 6 hours hanging between heaven and earth. And his father abandons him, forsakes him. Ah, why? For your notes, write this down. God, here's the reason why God forsook Jesus while he was on the cross. God had downloaded all our sins on Jesus while he was on the cross. And in the holiness of God, he could not see the sin that had been downloaded onto Jesus. So he separated himself from his son. The Bible says this. I want to go to three different scriptures. For God made Christ. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So Jesus is hung on a cross. And then God lays on Jesus our sin. Look at what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross so that freed from our sins, we could live a life that has God's approval. Jesus' wounds have healed you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Christ suffered because of other sins, our sins, your sins, my sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones, us. He went through it all, was put to death and then made alive to bring us to God. In his holiness, the Father could not look down at the sin that had been laid on the Son. And for 6 hours, Jesus had to endure the brutal pain, physical pain of crucifixion, the brutal humiliation of the cross, the brutal insults of his own enemies, and Jesus having the power to kill all of them. He had the discipline to take it all in and take it all in and take it all in. And add to that now the fact that God has laid on Jesus our sin. Every lie I ever told was laid on Jesus. Every adulterous thought anybody has was put on Jesus. Every action of deceit was put on Jesus. You know, we're about to publish a book, a children's book for toddlers called It's Easter and Jesus is Lord. And Sarah has been publishing that on Facebook. Do you know how many bad comments we've gotten from that? Hateful statements about God is not real. People who don't believe, people who hate God, that hate was laid on Jesus. Every ugly thing we ever done, God laid on his son. For your notes, write this down. The Lord Jesus was our substitution. You and I should have been on the cross. You and I should have died for our own sins, but we couldn't because we're sinners. But Jesus was the only one that was sinless, and so he was our substitution. For your notes, write this down. Jesus became our scapegoat on the cross. We were talking in my office, me and Wes, that the word scapegoat came from the Bible. You know, scapegoat is something that was originated in Scripture. You can write this down. I think it says it on there, Leviticus chapter 16, 7 through 10. This is what the Hebrews did in dealing with their sin. They would take two animals, without blemish, and they would sacrifice one. But then they would take this animal, the goat, and the priest would lay hands on this goat. And he would say something like, now all of our people's sin is on you. And then, meaning all the junk that people have committed, all the sins that people had committed was now laid on this poor innocent goat that didn't do anything wrong. And then the goat was taken to the wilderness by the priest. And then way out there in the wilderness, it was shoved away from the community. It was pushed aside to live, try to survive on its own. That was the scapegoat. And we see Jesus on the cross. He is the scapegoat. He is the innocent one that all our sins were laid onto. Then another thought. For your notes. And now we're going to deal with this in 2 weeks. So I'm not even going to get anywhere today on this. But check it out. Not only did Jesus take the people's sins away, but his blood that he shed on the cross was the payment that God was looking for to cleanse us from our sins. So God may have laid our sins on Jesus, but his blood is cleansing the sins that had been laid on the Son. Oh man. So the question, did God the Father forsake Jesus forever? No. On the third day, God the Father rescued the Son, brought him back to life. So, what do we learn from the words of Jesus? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? When you feel down and when you feel lonely and you feel forsaken, how do we deal with it? Okay, we learn from this. This is what God showed me. Number one, I want you to write this down. When you feel down, pray. You feel down, pray. It's like we always go back to prayer, don't we? When you feel down, pray. You may not want to pray, when you feel down. It may be the last thing you want to do, but you need to do it. When Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, it was a prayer to his Father. Why have you forsaken? Anytime you address God, that's like a prayer. You're talking to the Holy One of Israel. So you're praying to him, right? Look for God, y'all, in your darkest of moments. When you're feeling down, disowned, hurt, go for God. It doesn't mean everything is going to be okay when you pray. It doesn't mean you're going to feel immediately better because you talk to God about it. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that your prayer and seeking God helps realign your thinking back to God. I've been reading a book called No More Dragons. It's not about medieval dragons, okay? No More Dragons. In No More Dragons, the author talks about how he compares our faith with God to train tracks. He says train tracks, the rails, are precisely 4 feet, 8.5 inches apart here in America. And he says, rails, there's one and there's the other, but they work in unison with each other. He says, if one rail goes one way, the other rail goes the other way. So they're parallel with each other. Whenever there's a discrepancy in the rails, that's when a big crash happens. And so, when we get so discouraged and so dismayed, it has the danger of derailing us from God. What we need to stay parallel to God. Who God is, what God wants, what is His will for my life, what's His will for your life, what is God saying? You stay with Him. But sometimes we get so dejected that we tend to go the wrong way, away from God. It's destructive. So whenever you're down, stay aligned with God. That's what Jesus did. He prayed. Number two, remember that God has a plan and stay committed to Him and His plan. Whenever you and I are down, we got to remember that God has a plan. And we got to stay committed to that plan. It would have been really easy for Jesus to say, you know what, this is not worth it. But Jesus knew the plan of the Father, and He was fully committed to that plan. Jesus was. And so, for your notes, write this down. God will never, ever forsake you. He will never, ever forget you. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, God sticks to you like gorilla glue, man. He says, I will never, ever leave your side. So when you're down, remember God has a plan. You may not see it at that moment. You may feel like all is lost. But when God is on your side, if God is for us, who can be against us? Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14. It's a great verse. But Zion said, Zion, another word for Zion became Jerusalem, but it was also in the context, the nation of Israel, the people of God, okay? But the people of God said, the Lord has abandoned me, and the Lord has forgotten me. God says, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but God says, I will never forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you. You know what that means? I have tattooed you. I have tattooed who you are on the palms of my hands. Your walls in Jerusalem are continually before me. God has not abandoned you. God is for you, not against you. And he will never forget you. He knows you by name. He created you. He's always with you. Let me go back to Mother Teresa for a moment. You know, later she wrote this that is deeply significant. She wrote this: I have begun to love my darkness. This is years later. She said, I have begun to love my darkness, for I believe now that it is a part, a very small part of Jesus' darkness and pain on earth. I have more darkness as I have now more the darkness as my fellow friend. I simply offer myself to Jesus. We see darkness as an enemy because it makes us feel so down. Mother Teresa said, now I embrace it as a friend. And as I'm in the darkness, I just offer myself to the Lord. And that's what we need to do too. Darkness tends to draw us closer to Jesus. We'll focus on him. Many years ago, I'm going back 35 years. I think I told you this. There was a guy here. I mean, you know, there's a group of men here, and I show up. I'm just like the new kid on the block. You know, like, hey, what's going on? But they got their deal, and one of their men, there was a party going on in the fellowship hall, and this individual made some real bad racist comments. And others heard it in the fellowship hall. And a Christian should not be talking the way this individual was talking. And so the deacons got a hold of it and made a meeting with that guy, their friend. They said, in 2 weeks, you're going to have to meet with our deacon board here. And you're going to have to give an account of why you said what you said. Send them a letter. In the mail. 2 weeks finally showed up. You know what the guy said? The guy said, I've gone through sleepless nights. I kept repeating the scene of when I said what I said. I've done a lot of self-reflection. You know what he said? He said, I have prayed more in the last 2 weeks of that darkness than I had prayed in the last 5 years. See, he went through, put himself in that position, but that darkness, that difficulty drew him closer to Jesus. Number three, we get ready to close here. When you're down in despair, feeling like the world's abandoned you, there's been times when I felt like the church has abandoned me. I'm sure my brother there, my good friend, feels the same way sometimes, or has. Not you guys, of course. You know, you haven't abandoned me. But there's been times when I felt like my brother believers abandoned me and betrayed me, backstabbed me, and forsook me. This is what you got to do. Number three, like Jesus, remain in control of yourself. And remember God's promise. Remain in control of yourself and remember God's promise. You say, why would Jesus go through such an incredible ordeal like the cross? Well, I know why. Because he loves us so much, right? He loves us in an incredible way. But this just came to my mind. It's not on your notes. So you can write this down on the side of your notes, okay? Because I'm just sharing with you, you got to remember God's promise. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Just came to mind. Therefore, says the author, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up and entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting, here it is, here's the promise of God, right? Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. What kept Jesus on the cross? His love for you and me, and the fact that God had promised that he was going to get back to the throne again. When you feel down, remain in control. You know, okay, so Jesus says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? But did you notice what Matthew said, how the words came out? The words of Jesus were not a whisper. They were not the weak statement of a dying man. It wasn't in his last breath that he's saying, Father, why have you forsaken me? No, no, no. The Bible tells us that he said it out loud. Jesus shouted it out. Why have you forsaken me? Which tells us he still had a lot of life in him. Don't let anybody tell you somebody killed Jesus. Jesus gave up his life for us. And so here, he's in total control. Lord Jesus is in total control. In fact, he still was going to make three more statements after the one we're reading. He's just expressing himself, why have you forsaken me? But he was disciplined, and he was in control, and he was not going to give up on the plan God had for him. Lord Jesus was totally yielded to the will of God, and that's where we need to be when we find ourselves in the dumps of life. Even when you don't feel like it, you yield yourself back to the will of God. I don't understand it. I don't like it. It's hurting me. I don't know how much longer I can take of this, but I am committed to your will. And I know that you love me. And you will never give up on me. You and I have got to keep a hold of the fact that God's got a promise, that God's got an incredible plan for your life. Even though you may go through some of the deepest, darkest of valleys. When the people of God were getting ready to go into the promised land, Moses died. Moses had been their leader for years. But God comes to Joshua and says, hey, Moses, my servant, is dead. And so God appoints Joshua to take the people of God into the promised land. You know what was in the promised land? Giants. Mean, ugly, smelly giants. You know what was in the promised land? Big, bad armies. Bloodthirsty people. In the promised land, there were fortified cities that the Hebrews, who were not an army, were going to have to fight. And we're going to have to conquer. And Joshua is scared stiff of going in there. And the people are scared stiff of going in there. Read Joshua chapter 1. That tells everything you need to know about how Joshua was feeling. But I want to read you Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. God says to Joshua, in Joshua's despair, right? Fear. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, the people on the other side of the Jordan. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. Hear me now, brothers and sisters. The Lord your God goes ahead of you. Where are you going to be tomorrow? God's already there. Where are you going to be in retirement? God's already there. What's going to happen in 2 weeks? God's already been there. The Lord, your God, personally goes ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So as you and I go through the darkest of valleys, sometimes we make things worse than they are, but sometimes we feel like we're in the darkest of valleys, right? Jesus was in the darkest of days, hours. Sometimes we feel like we're down. Let God be your shield of protection. Let God be the banner you fight under. Let God be your shelter when you've given it all you've got. Let God be your help in times of trouble, your compass when you feel like you don't know what you're going to do next. Let God be your shield of protection. Let God be your reward. Because sometimes you wonder all your faithfulness to God and you may have nothing to show for. Let God be your reward. I told you the story of the missionary who's coming home after 40 years of being in the mission field. This happened many years ago. There was a very well-known political figure in the boat with him. When they arrived on the shores of America, the band was playing. The people had banners cheering the famous man that was coming off the boat. There was confetti everywhere. And the missionary, old as he was, stood there on the side of that boat, looking at all that, and he began to feel despair and loneliness. And he said, God, I've served you faithfully 40 years. Nobody's waiting for me. Nobody's throwing confetti for me. No band is playing music for me. Nobody's cheering that I'm coming home. And then God said to his spirit, but you're not home yet. One day, we're going to make it home. Heaven. What a day that's going to be. When our Savior is going to be waiting for us to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You served me in little. You served me when you were hurting. And now there's a lot waiting for you here. Man, Jesus taught us a lot when he said to his Father, why have you forsaken me? Just keep in mind, God will never ever forsake you. Amen. That's what God wanted me to say. Thank God that I was able to finish it. Lord bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Oh, what a horrible picture. What a horrible time. He endured the cross, but he despised its shame because he knew there was something awesome coming his way. He was going to return to his glory. Father, I don't know where everybody is. People are watching on Facebook, and they may be in such despair, and they may be hurting, and they may be lonely. Whoever you are, would you reach out to Jesus today? Would you just reach out to Christ? Maybe you never given your heart to Jesus. Maybe somebody here's never given their heart to Jesus. I'm going to ask you, if you've never asked Jesus to come inside your heart and be your Savior, I'm going to ask you to tell Jesus something like this right now, wherever you are, whoever you are. right there where you're watching me, at home or in the car, wherever you are. Lord, I am lonely. I feel this vacuum inside me, this emptiness. I believe Jesus died for my sins. And I believe this morning he rose from the dead. And I ask you to forgive me of everything I've done. Come inside my heart, Lord Jesus. And I commit my life to you. Help me live for you from this moment forward. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking. If you just pray something like this, I want to tell you the Bible says that when you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. If somebody here just asked Jesus to save her soul or his soul, will you raise your hand and say, man, I just prayed that prayer first time ever. I just prayed that prayer. Anybody here? Say, I just prayed that prayer first time. Okay, maybe you pray that prayer Facebook. God, we love you with all our hearts. Help us live for you. And help us never, ever forget the cross. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much.